Welcome to episode 19 of our podcast series. This episode features material from our February 2024 print edition of the Residential Aged Care Communique. I'm Professor Joseph Ibrahim, the editor. This podcast episode examines in depth the circumstances that contributed to the death of a resident who was administered a medication to which he had a known allergy. The common underlying issue in this case is an understanding of how to obtain and evaluate if information is credible and reliable. We also present the reflections of senior nurses after the expert commentary. Our narrator is Ashley Redmond, a practicing registered nurse and actor. Let's now listen to the editorial.
Table of Contents. Editorial by Professor Joseph Ibrahim. Case: Credible but not reliable. Expert Commentary by Dr. Natalie Jokanovic. Comments from senior nurses. Obituary: Vale Marie Amanda Cameron, PSM. Editorial: As we enter 2024, our fifth year of living with the COVID-19 pandemic, looking back to the start of 2020 is illuminating. Our first editorial, published in Volume 15, Issue 1, February 2020, was an optimistic opening with, "Welcome to the first issue of 2020 and a new decade. A decade where we should look forward with hope to better care of older people and a brighter future for the sector as a whole. Last year was an exhausting and frantic time in the sector, with the Royal Commission into Aged Care Quality and Safety in full swing. It is not very comfortable now. It is impossible to contemplate how more wrong one could have been. The notion of looking back and reflecting on our thoughts and actions and what we could have done differently is especially pertinent to this edition. We examine the case of a resident who died due to being administered a medication to which he had a known allergy, the multiple layers in place to prevent such an incident, and the number of health professionals involved in the resident's care make the whole episode seem unbelievable. The willingness of the parties involved to review their practice and the systems of care delivery, as well as candor and willingness to address any deficits, is admirable. The case also highlights how we should consider information obtained during clinical consultations and the importance of being credible and reliable. Credibility is defined as worthy of belief, while reliability is defined as being accurate. Both qualities are required when obtaining information that has profound healthcare implications. Our expert commentator is Dr. Natalie Jokanovic, a practicing pharmacist with a research background in medication management in residential and hospital settings. Dr. Jokanovic led and published a review of 30 coronial investigations into medication-related deaths in Australian residential aged care facilities. Surprisingly, deaths due to drug hypersensitivity reactions were not found in that study. Finally, there is a tribute to Marie Cameron, PSM, who died this year. Marie was a staunch advocate for improving aged care and was instrumental in establishing this publication.
Let's now listen to our first case report titled "Credible but Not Reliable."
Case: Credible but Not Reliable. The case precy author is Professor Joseph Ibrahim. Clinical history: Mr. M.M. is a 91-year-old male with dementia who entered a privately owned residential aged care facility in the outer suburbs of the capital city approximately 4 years earlier. Past medical history included hyperlipidemia, hypertension, atrial fibrillation, heart failure, chronic obstructive airway disease, gastroesophageal reflux disease, and anxiety. It was the middle of winter when Mr. M.M. developed a cough. A geriatrician, Dr. C.C., reviewed him and noted signs of bronchospasm with generalized wheeze. The changes to Mr. MM's medication regimen included stopping metoprolol and starting diltiazem and hydrochlorothiazide to optimise the management of hypertension. Prior to prescribing, Dr. CC asked Mr. MM if he had an allergy to diltiazem or hydrochlorothiazide, and he replied, no. A prescription was written and sent to the pharmacy. The first pharmacist dispensed the medications, and a second pharmacist signed off on them, which were then dispatched. The following day, the general practitioner signed the medication charts for these two medicines. The medications were administered over the next 2 days by two different enrolled nurses. On the second day, around noon, the general practitioner noted Mr. MM had a generalized rash that was red and itchy and complained that his lips felt different. There was no associated tongue swelling or shortness of breath. A provisional diagnosis was made of angioedema or anaphylaxis due to food-related allergies or a bee sting, and treatment was initiated with adrenaline and promethazine. The rash persisted and became blistered a few hours later. The same treatment was repeated and the rash gradually faded. Overnight, the rash returned and a locum general practitioner attended, diagnosing Mr. MM with measles. In the morning, Dr. JJ attended and noted the rash had become more pronounced with swollen lips and unintelligible speech. Again, treatment with adrenaline and promethazine was administered, and the nursing staff was told to escalate care and transfer Mr. MM to a hospital if he did not improve. A short while later, an attending nurse noted Mr. MM had difficulty swallowing and organised a transfer to the emergency department. Later that evening, Mr. MM was admitted to a general ward for investigation of angioedema and anaphylaxis. A skin biopsy led to a diagnosis of drug reaction eosinophilia and systemic symptoms, DRESS, associated with diltiazem. There was evidence of acute kidney injury, liver dysfunction, prolonged clotting time, and muscle injury. A few days later, Mr. MM suddenly deteriorated with a suspected brain hemorrhage, Glasgow Coma Scale score of 3 out of 15. He was too unwell to undergo a CT brain scan and, given the poor prognosis, was palliated and died soon after. Pathology. A senior forensic pathologist conducted an autopsy and reviewed a post-mortem computed tomography, CT scan, and determined the cause of death as complications of cerebrovascular and ischemic heart disease in a man post-anaphylactic reaction to diltiazem. There was a clot within the right middle cerebral artery, evidence of acute and chronic changes within the lungs, and bronchopneumonia. There was also significant heart disease with myocardial fibrosis associated with coronary artery arteriosclerosis. Toxicological analysis of anti-mortem samples identified the presence of diltiazem, oxycodone, duloxetine, risperidone, and promethazine. The toxicology analysis also identified tryptase and immunoglobulin IgE within normal levels. Investigation. Mr. MM's death was reported to the coroner as it fell within the definition of a reportable death in the Coroner's Act 2008. Mr. MM's son had also contacted the court on two separate occasions with concerns about the medical care and treatment that his father received from the aged care home and the healthcare professionals, as well as the acute care hospital. The primary focus of the investigation was to ascertain what led to the administration of diltiazem and how the allergy to this medication was overlooked. The investigation included statements from the general manager of the aged care facility, the part owner of the community pharmacy, the manager of the third-party medication packaging company, and the two medical practitioners, Dr. CC, a geriatrician, and Dr. JJ, a general practitioner. Also available were the results of an internal investigation by the aged care provider's safety team, using root cause analysis. The coroner also asked the Coroner's Prevention Unit, CPU, to review the brief of evidence. The aged care provider had engaged a third-party medication packaging company to provide their residents with medication packaging services. The local pharmacy was responsible for pharmaceutical services that managed patients' medication charting, ordering, dispensing, and delivery. Mr. MM's allergy was known and well recorded in the aged care facility's admission database, care plans, resident register, pharmacy referral forms, summary, and signing sheets. There were also numerous references to his allergy through patient stickers within the progress notes, assessment, and referral forms. The allergy to diltiazem was indicated in red in the drug allergies to alert the reader. CPU highlighted failures at multiple points in the oversight of medication prescription, dispensing, and administration systems. This included the prescriber's flawed assessment of a patient's medical history. The coroner found that Dr. CC failed to note Mr. MM's allergy, most notably from the patient sticker on the progress notes and the medication summary sheet, and relied entirely on Mr. MM's accounts. Dr. CC explained that when writing his notes and the drug charts at the nursing station, he was interrupted by Mr. MM, who was in an anxious state, asking that his sons be called to take him home. Dr. CC acknowledged that Mr. MM had dementia, which could compromise his ability to provide accurate accounts of his drug allergies, and that he did not seek further clarification from the family or general practitioner. Dr. JJ explained he was unaware of the changes to Mr. MM's medications and was not informed by the geriatrician or the aged care staff. The pharmacy partner explained, "The dispensing pharmacist will be guided by the prescriber." The registered nurses did not check for Mr. MM's allergies before administration. The aged care provider conceded there were issues of human error and system failures and undertook a range of actions, some of which included an audit of all residents' medication charts and their allergies, educate all registered staff on their roles, responsibilities, and delegation, medication incident management, medication administration, medication records, health professional services, and resident discharge home or transfer. The pharmacy conceded that they made an error for not picking up the contraindicated medications, and there were shortcomings in their in-house software. Moreover, the pharmacy made the following changes. The second pharmacist, who signed off on the changes of medications, is now required to check for contraindicated medications. Any discrepancies concerning a suspected allergy or contraindication noted at the dispensing or packaging stage are to be immediately communicated to the prescriber. Dr. CC highlighted in his statement changes to clinical practice to prevent similar incidents, some of which include greater vigilance when checking patients' medical history and confirming allergy history with the patient, their medical records, drug charts, general practitioners, and family. Avoiding all interruptions when charting medication. Better communication with patients' families, nursing staff, and general practitioners. Findings and conclusion. The coroner concluded that while Mr. MM had multiple medical conditions, there is a temporal relationship between the allergic reaction to the administration of diltiazem and death. The coroner accepted that the medical cause of death was complications of cerebrovascular and ischemic heart disease following an anaphylactic reaction to diltiazem. There was an adverse finding concerning Dr. CC, who departed from good clinical practice where he failed to practice medicine safely and effectively. The coroner referred the finding to the Australia Health Practitioner Regulation Agency. The basis for this was Dr. CC did not confirm whether Mr. MM was allergic to diltiazem. It was unreasonable to rely on a 91-year-old man with dementia that it was safe to prescribe the medication. Did not communicate with the general practitioner about the medication changes. The coroner made no adverse findings against the other parties involved and commented that their responses were restorative and appropriate. It was evident that they took responsibility for the system failures and initiated actions to address these gaps. Author's comments. The subject of drug hypersensitivity reactions is a very complex and specialized area of clinical practice. All health professionals are aware of common drug allergies, particularly antibiotics, and have managed patients who developed an itch or skin rash. However, recognition and diagnosis of severe allergic drug reactions are challenging. The two classes of drug hypersensitivity reactions are simplified into immediate or delayed. Immediate reactions usually occur within 1 to 6 hours after exposure to the drug. The clinical features include urticaria, angioedema, bronchospasm, and anaphylaxis. Delayed reactions usually occur over days to weeks after exposure to the drug. These may be benign or life-threatening. The clinical feature of a benign presentation is usually an exanthem, i.e., a widespread red rash that can be flat, raised, or scaly. The clinical features of more severe conditions include eosinophilia and systemic symptoms, DRESS, acute generalized exanthematous pustulosis, and Stevens-Johnson syndrome, toxic epidermal necrolysis. DRESS is a severe, idiosyncratic reaction to a drug with a delayed presentation with a mortality rate of about 10%. The medications more commonly involved are anti-epileptic agents with an incidence of 1 per 5,000 to 10,000 exposures. Recall that the editorial raised the importance of obtaining credible and reliable information. Reflect and consider when a person may appear credible and yet be unreliable. Also, ponder the situation where a person is considered unreliable. Would you ever accept them as credible?
Let's now listen to our expert commentary titled Medication Allergies and Challenges in Residential Aged Care.
Medication Allergies and Challenges in Residential Aged Care by Dr. Natalie Jokanovic, who is a postdoctoral researcher and pharmacist at the Alfred Hospital and Monash University. The medication management process involves several steps, from initial prescribing and supply to administration, and ongoing review of medications. This process is performed in collaboration with a multidisciplinary aged care team, including pharmacists, prescribers, aged care staff, residents, and families, to ensure the safe and effective use of medications. Along this pathway, particularly at the time of prescribing, supply and administration, identification and documentation of medication allergies and adverse drug reactions is crucial to minimize the risk of preventable harm. Establishing an accurate medication and allergy history can be particularly difficult for residents in residential aged care due to prior fragmented care and documentation across health providers. This includes resident transfer to and from hospitals due to insufficient communication and documentation on transfer, and is a common cause of preventable harm. Documentation of medication allergies is often absent, incorrect, or incomplete, creating challenges for prescribing, including resulting in adverse harm or potential avoidance of medications that could otherwise be given. Obtaining an initial medication and allergy history often requires multiple sources and is time-consuming. A comprehensive residential medication management review, performed by a pharmacist in collaboration with healthcare professionals, residents, and their families, is recommended for all new residents entering residential aged care and ongoing when required. For example, a significant change in a resident's medical condition or medications or recent hospital discharge. This process supports the accurate identification, documentation, and communication of medication allergies between residential and healthcare providers. The addition of an on-site pharmacist in residential aged care services to regularly review medications has also recently been funded by the Australian Government, with plans to commence this year, 2024. The involvement of residents and their family members or guardians is crucial in this process to establish an accurate history, as often recall of medication allergies is incomplete and unreliable, particularly from residents with dementia. Aged care staff are uniquely placed to support the engagement and involvement of family members or guardians in shared decision-making in aged care homes. The unfortunate case of Mr. MM, a resident with dementia, highlighted several lapses in communication of medication allergy status across the stages of the medication management cycle and between healthcare providers. Mr. MM's medication allergies, diltiazem and cefalexin, were appropriately documented across multiple sources in the aged care home, including patient stickers, admission database, care plan, and medication summary and signing sheets. Despite this labelling across multiple sources, diltiazem was prescribed by Mr. MM's geriatrician following initial questioning and verbal denial of this allergy. Further, clarification from family members was not sought. Medication allergies must be checked when prescribing, including referral to existing documentation among aged care home records, the resident's usual prescribing doctor, and seeking clarification from residents and family members. In this case, Mr. MM's recall of his medication allergies is unreliable due to his dementia diagnosis, and his family members or guardians should have been contacted for confirmation. Aged care staff can support prescribers by ensuring the transfer and communication of allergy documentation and supporting the involvement of family members in decision-making. At the time of administration, Mr. MM was repeatedly given diltiazem by aged care staff, despite his documented allergy. Aged care staff must refer to the five rights of medication use, including referring to medication allergy documentation at the time of every medication administration. If in doubt, aged care staff should always refer to the prescriber or pharmacist to seek clarification before administering any medication. Accurate transfer of information is fundamental across all stages of the medication cycle. This was particularly evident as Mr. MM's regular GP was unaware that his geriatrician had newly prescribed diltiazem, having received no communication from the aged care home. Mr. MM was subsequently transferred to the hospital for further management of his symptoms. Accurate and timely documentation and communication of information are critical to ensuring continuity of care. This includes the transfer of medication information on transfer to the hospital to ensure an appropriate and timely investigation of Mr. MM's symptoms. Aged care staff can help facilitate this process by always ensuring that all changes are communicated to relevant prescribers and pharmacists, and that all relevant documentation is provided on hospital transfer, including medication charts and relevant progress notes, to minimise these preventable errors.
Let's now listen to the reflections of senior nurses.
Reflections of senior nurses. It is hard to believe this happened. The multiple failures by the prescriber, dispenser, and administrators of the medication, along with a complete breakdown in communication between the geriatrician, general practitioner, pharmacists, and nursing staff, are extraordinary. Perhaps the nursing staff assumed that the given geriatrician, general practitioner, and two pharmacists had been involved in the prescribing and dispensing process, and that an active and deliberate decision had been made on the medication. For example, the benefits of prescribing outweighed the risk of the known allergy, or the evidence for the allergy was unsubstantiated. On a positive note, it is excellent that Mr. MM was consulted about his allergies, and an attempt was made to engage in a conversation about his care. However, the accuracy of the resident's response should have been verified given his known cognitive impairment. It is challenging for clinicians to adapt to different information systems, and even more complicated when interacting with varying combinations of information systems at different workplaces. The way clinical alerts are presented to practitioners also varies. Sometimes, these information systems make doing the right thing and bolting on new systems to solve problems as these arise results in a spiderweb of operating systems. It's no surprise that, at times, clinicians feel helpless and trapped. The nurse's failure to check the patient's allergies before administering the diltiazem is likely due to complacency or familiarity with the resident and staff being in a groove, following the same routine. Recall that he had been living there for 4 years and there were probably very few changes made to the medication regimen. Nevertheless, from one day to the next, the nurse responsible for dispensing medications to the residents may vary, with some even working there for a single shift to cover sick leave. This makes the checking of allergies all the more pertinent.
The final segment of this podcast is a tribute to Marie Amanda Cameron, who died in January of 2024.
Vale Marie Amanda Cameron, PSM. Born 13th of March 1960 at Dannevirke, New Zealand, and died peacefully after a long, brave battle with illness on the 16th of January 2024 in Melbourne, Victoria. Marie qualified as a registered nurse in 1981, Auckland, New Zealand, and began practicing as a nurse. Over the next 20 years, Marie gained a wealth of knowledge and experience in the aged care sectors of New Zealand, England and Australia. In Australia, Marie was employed in roles involving managing nursing homes, clinical consulting, and as a Commonwealth Nursing Officer. Marie moved into a significant public policy role in 2000 with her appointment as the manager of the Quality Improvement Unit, Department of Health Victoria. Marie was responsible for improving the quality of services in 186 public sector residential aged care services, many in small rural health services. Along with Marie's extensive knowledge and stamina, she brought a very personal approach and would always go out into the field, visiting all 186 public facilities to achieve the desired results. Marie dared to carry out her convictions. She would arrive on the scene where a crisis occurred to make people realise the situation's seriousness and explain what needed to be done. As the aged care ministers and the senior executives in the health department had confidence in Marie and her team of talented and experienced nurses, the desired results would be achieved. The persistence and interpersonal skills that Marie had to bring were enormous, evidenced by the chief executive officers and senior staff in health services who expressed nothing but strong positive feedback and respect. Marie was always generous and patient in sharing her knowledge, impeccable professionalism, and insightful judgment. Her ability to articulate and put policies and practices into action to create a better world for older people was unrivaled. Marie recognised that aged care staff needed comprehensive assessment skills and instituted a statewide training program, now embedded in practice and expands each year. Almost 20 years ago, Marie initiated and supported the Residential Aged Care Communique, a world-first way of sharing information and learnings from the coroner's office with the aged care community. Marie led the rollout of a suite of quality indicators to the public sector to improve the quality of care and identify clinical risk. This provided the foundation for the national program that requires participation by all aged care facilities throughout Australia. Marie strived and achieved her goal of treating these indicators as a quality improvement piece and not as performance measures. Beyond compliance was her motto. Marie introduced regular forums for board members, chief executive officers, and senior staff, major industry stakeholders, and state and federal government public servants to participate. Marie drove successful funding bids for the rollout of practical measures and equipment across the public sector in Victoria. These resulted in real-world improvements with better equipment, including high-low beds, pressure mattresses, lifting equipment, and better services such as wound management programs, dementia-friendly practices, and training. These practical changes enhanced the work environment for staff and the care environment for residents. In the 2017 Australian Day Honours List, Marie was awarded the Public Service Medal for outstanding public service to residential aged care standards and improved quality of life for older persons in Victoria. Marie was an exceptional person and leader who always had a genuine interest in others and invested her time and energy in managing, coaching, challenging, or socialising with them. Marie had high expectations of herself, her team, and the sector, and had a way of encouraging and supporting everyone around her. After her retirement, due to ill health, Marie remained active behind the scenes, helping many colleagues by advising on which issues to push, how to handle the media, and the politics of it all. Marie was a rare person who had an extraordinarily positive impact on improving life for older people. She was, quite simply, marvellous. We express our condolences to her partner, Richard Langham, parents Mary and the late Ron, and siblings Sandra, Fiona, Aaron and Megan. Rest in peace. Joseph Ibrahim wrote this obituary based on his knowledge and information provided by Jane Harrington, PSM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. Remember, the online print versions are available at our website, which also includes a list of the recommended resources and references. Remember too, we now have an extensive podcast catalogue of previous editions of the Residential Aged Care Communique, along with our sister publications, the Clinical Communique and the Future Leaders Communique, which are available and free to download through our website or via Spotify, Apple and Stitcher. We also have a library of recorded webinars that examine clinical dilemmas and mental health. I'm Joseph Ibrahim. Thanks for listening.